It's good to be reminded that you guys love us, because as we go through the year, sometimes it feels like nobody loves us. You know, it feels like we're going up hills. Sometimes it feels we're in the valley. But I thank God for people like you guys. I thank God for what he's doing here. You know, I think I was actually talking to Oz the other day. Oz asked me this question. I've been thinking about the same question. You know, so he's like, so what's your goal? What's your goal? Do you remember? He's like, what do you want for your church? What kind of church do you want? You know, and that's something I'm constantly thinking about. I'm always thinking about, okay, what kind of church do I want? You know, and when he asked me the question, I answered him, but also I went home and I'm like, okay, yes, Lord, you know, what do I want? The answer is simple. I'm a guy after God's heart, you know, so I love Jesus. So I want a church who are in love with Jesus. I want a church that's growing, you know. Now, when I say growing, sometimes you could go to a church, the church is full of people, you know, and you have 3-4 services. Not always, I say sometimes, okay, but then there's not quality people. I want quality. And something the Lord told me a couple years ago, he said, you know, the church is not a growing of number, a bunch of people. The church is a handful of people growing in me, dwelling in me. You know, so, and once again, I'm like, yes, yes, Lord. I want a growing church. I want a church that's growing in maturity. I want people who knows the Lord, but not only knows the Lord, but the Lord knows them. So at the end of when Christ come, he doesn't tell us, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? You know, so I am very thankful for each of you. I thank God for leaders he's raising in this church. I thank for all new people, you know, you recent joiners. I thank God for you. You know, and really, I couldn't be more thankful to the Lord for my children. You know, would you put your hands together for them? And I tell you, one of the reasons I know they have a kingdom mindset, and I watch them. I mean, Alyssa, you know, we're very musical. I taught them music and stuff, and we have instrument all over in the house and stuff. So I love watching them. I told them, I said, I know the anointing of God over their life. Of course, I'm the parents. I see it. I know it. I can testify. God's got his hand on them. But then it's not just music. It's the anointing. So then I was telling them, you need to spend time ministering to the Lord like David did when nobody sees. And it blesses me seeing them. See, Ryan and Alyssa, they have a relationship with Jesus. And not only that, their relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, caused them, of course, to walk with God, but they're listening to God. Because there was a time I was just like, you know, there's this mindset. Everybody's looking for a young church. You know, every young people is looking for a church with a bunch of young people jumping up and down, which is good. You know, God bless them if that's what they want. So there was a time I'm like, man, Lord, I hope that doesn't happen to my kids, because my kids are really my first team. My first disciples are Kendra, Ryan, and Alyssa, because I live with them every day. If I can't disciple in them, I have no business coming here and being your pastor. So I am so humbled, and I'm like, okay, God, and I saw it a couple years that the Lord captivate their hearts. And not only that, he called them. And he called them to serve me. You know, and I'm like, praise God. So I honor Ryan and Alyssa. I honor you. I honor the Holy Spirit in your life. And I thank you for not giving in to the pure pressure to do something else. And I honor you for honoring this church. Because we're not a young church, right? I'm not young, right? We don't have a bunch of 16-year-old running around, which is fine. Because I really love the mid-age people. I really love it, because that's what, I mean, you guys are mid-age, right? You know, some of you are like, I'm 89, you know, I'm not mid-age anymore. It doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. But we also live in a culture, where the young people, they want to discard. Even culture, it's like, I've said it here before. Nobody wants to get old. Everybody wants to keep their hair black. Everybody wants to remain like 38. But, you know, it doesn't matter. We all getting old. Okay, but we don't, in the kingdom, we do not discard the older people. We age gracefully. And I believe there is a lot of wisdom among the older generation. Amen? I mean, I love having older men as my friends because they can really tell me about, they can tell me about life. Okay, so we very humble. For your love, for your support, you know, as we move, and Larry said it, you know, this month, I actually forgot about that, it's Pastor's Appreciation Month, you know, yeah, I always think about October is my anniversary, so this month we're going to celebrate 26 years, you know, my focus is there, you know. So for all of you who've been married for 60 years, hats off. I want to know how it's done, you know. So we have not arrived yet. Okay? So breathe. You know, I'm usually not like that, but this was so good. So thank you. Thank you. If there's something you could do for me to continue to show me you love me, obey Jesus. Obey Jesus. Live in the fear of God. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a pure bride. You know, a pure bride. Pure bride. So I want to talk. I mean, it's funny because I had this message prepared. And the other day, I've spent all day here. And I'm like, okay, seeking God just for my own life, not for the church. You know, sometimes like I'm like, God, I just need you. I need you, Lord. I just need you, Lord. So I'm spending time with the Lord. And then I had my sermon. I had a message that I'm supposed to preach. But then I sit by the computer and I had a different idea to talk about growth. And I'm like, okay, what do I want for our church? I want us to be a growing church, a church that's growing in the Lord. I want you to grow in the Lord, because if you put that on the screen here, my first picture, seeing this, the sign of spiritual maturity, you grow or you die. Everything that's born either grow or they die. Now, growing old is inevitable. It's inevitable. You cannot escape growing old. It doesn't matter what you do. Some of us don't like it because we have knee pain, back pain, different crazy pain. We are a little slower than what we used to. You know, even for me, all right? So last week, a couple weeks ago, I went and visited my brother, and him and I, we used to exhibition. We used to walk on our hands. And when I was a kid, I was very good at it. Younger. I mean, we live at our house, you know, we had a yard around the house, and it was all concrete path around the house. And I used to walk the whole circle. And among my brothers and I was the best on my hands. I would walk on my hands. So every time we come together, my brothers and I, we're still trying to see if I am the best. Thank God I'm still the best. Because the other week, I went and visited my brother. So here we are, you know, 240, almost 50-year-old men on our... It was so much fun. All right, so I beat him 5-0, okay? And then we're like, okay, I used to be the fastest when it comes to running. And then we're like, okay, let's race. So me, here I am. Guys, I haven't run like I did. The next morning, I feel like somebody beat me up. You know? So that's a sign. You know, growing older is inevitable. Because unless you remain fit, you know, like some other people, you're gonna hurt if you're gonna think you're gonna jump from here to over there, because you're not 15 like Ryan anymore. I remember the time. 22. Sorry. I remember the time I used to run with Ryan and beat him. You know, kind of just be faster. And then all of a sudden, one time, you know, that day it catch on you. I was like, all right, let's go, Ryan. And I'm like, oh man, I'm losing. He's faster. I haven't tried since. You know, I haven't tried since. I tried with my nephews and nieces. But I want you to look at this. You know, what tree are you? Where are you spiritually? We grow or we die. Let's read some verses in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. You know, this is what it says. It says, every scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Verse 17. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature. Now, when will you be God's servant, fully mature? Go back to 16. Go back to 16. You become fully mature when you let the Word of God empower you by its instruction, when you let the Word of God correct you, when you let the Word of God giving you strength, lead you into the right direction. And then go back to verse 17, and then we have this result. That's when you become God's servant. Fully mature, that's the word right there, mature, and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. There's another verse. Let's go to Psalm 1, verse 1 to 6. Psalm 1, I thank you guys for coming to church with your Bibles. I know I talk about your phones, which is awesome, your iPads, which is great, but I would never stop encouraging you to bring your Bible. Carry it, read it, have a personal relationship with your physical Bible. It says, what delight comes to the one who follows God's way? He won't walk in the step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His pleasure and passion is remaining true to the word of I am, meditating day and night in the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of his life. He is never dry. Huh, listen to this. He's never, remember the first picture I showed you. He's never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. But how different are the wicked? All they are is dust in the wind, driven away to destruction. Verse 5. The wicked will not endure the day of judgment, for God will not defend them. Nothing they will do succeed or endure for long, for they have no part with those who walk in truth. And I think verse 6, the last verse says, but how different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward, while the way of the wicked lead only to destruction. So once again, let's go to James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word of God, so deceive yourselves. I talk about that last Sunday. I mean, you know, I'm like, Sunday again, I was like, I can't believe I said that, man. I told you guys I didn't wash my face coming to church. But thank God for the mirror. Thank God for the mirror. This is the verse right here. Do not merely listen to the word, so, because if you just listen to the word, you're not deceiving me, you are deceiving yourselves. But it says, do what it says, verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is someone who likes who looks at his face in a mirror. That never happened. We all know what we look like. Anyone who listened to the word of God, and after they, anyone who listened to the word of God but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. Verse 24. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. That never happened to anybody here, right? Yeah. Not yet. When we look at a mirror, we know what we look like. Right? Sometimes we look twice, but we still look. We know what we look like. You know, spiritual growth is a process of becoming more and more like Jesus. That's why we need it. We need to grow so we can become more and more like Jesus. If you are in church and you're not growing in the Lord, you won't becoming more like Christ. So somebody could ask, how do we become more like Christ? Now remember, when we place our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins the process of making us like Jesus. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit begin the process of making us like Christ. And I tell you, think about it. We all, most of us here, we're parents, we've got kids, grandkids. What was one of your most desire for your kids after they were born? I mean, to grow, right? Right? I mean, some of us is like, man, I can't wait till he walks. I can't wait till he or she say daddy. Right? And then you watching the kid just growing. That's why my hat goes off to parents with special children. You know, kids with special needs. You know, we had a friend that had a kid for 22 years. The kid never grew because it had, you know, just physical, mental issues. Hats goes off to parents. The every dream of a parent is that you want your kids to grow, to become mature, right? You don't want your kids to be a bunch of losers living on the couch, right? You want them to go to school, have a life, possibly get married, have a family, but maybe, yeah, do good in life. That's what we want, right? That's maturity. That's what we want for our lives, for our children. Spiritually, it's the same thing. God wants you to grow. And I tell you, one of my deepest desire for this church is that I see you grow spiritually. I see you grow. Because when you're born again, praise God, your spirit born again. Right? You repent of your sin. You got baptized. But if you don't keep growing in the Lord, you know what's going to happen? You die spiritually. If you don't feed your spirit, you know, we were talking about it at our home group the other day, right? What happened when we talk about fasting? You know, like tomorrow, you could wake up and you're busy. You don't eat until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, it's like, oh man, I haven't eaten. But if we decide today we're gonna fast tomorrow, you start having a headache just to think about tomorrow. You're going to go without food for 6 hours. Just for a spiritual purpose. So growing spiritually is not for the weak. That's why you see people in the church for 40 years living the yo-yo life, Christian life, right? There are certain things. I mean, should I go there? I mean, maybe I'll just mention it and then I'll close it. God bless you, Jonathan. Are you heading out now? All right. God bless you, brother. We love you, man. Yeah. Thank you for the way you serve God in our midst. Yeah. Glory with his peace. You know, I mean, even in the life of a kid, right? There are different stages. You've got baby, infant. Help me out. Toddler, right? Child, teenager, young adult. Adult, and then mature adult, like Dave. That's right. Mature adult. You know, it's like this guy, he's been through it. He lived his life. He can sit you out like, you know, Robert, like, you know, Sam, like Bernie. You know, there's like you ladies, you know, like Carol. You know, Because you've walked with God, you're not just 13. You see, sometimes we see people in the church for 40 years, but their spiritual age is 8 years old. But hang on, they've been in church for 40 years. How is it possible that they are still living by the flesh or not growing spiritually? There are tons of Bible verses in the Bible. There's one, 2 Peter. You can write it down. Maybe we won't go there, Inge. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 8, verse 9 and 10. It tells us, by God's power, we have everything we need to live a godly life. God's power. Every time the Bible make reference of God's power, we know they're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Paracletos. So by the Holy Spirit, you cannot grow without the Holy Spirit. By God's power, we have everything we need for godliness. And how do we do that? How does that happen? It happens by coming to... Maybe we should read it. Let's read it. Open your Bibles in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Lord, for your word. 2 Peter chapter... Give me the NLT. It's a lot easier for me to read it in the NLT. 2 Peter... chapter 1, verse 3. Okay, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. Okay? The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable, underline this word. See, those promises enable, make you able, give you the ability to. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Okay? It makes us enable, gives you, that enable you to share his divine nature. Okay, so hang on, stop right there. Give me some of the things that characterize God's nature. Think about it. What are some of the things that make God God? Faithfulness. Forgiveness. Okay? Okay, let's just stop right there. So then, by his divine nature, by the Holy Spirit, I partake in God's nature. So therefore what? Do I struggle with bitterness? Yes. But what choice do I have if I'm carrying God's nature? Help me out. Say again. No choice. So I am naturally from a family. They don't keep their words. They're not faithful. What choice do I have when I get to partake in God's nature when it comes to faithfulness? No choice. I must be faithful. Forgiveness. What choice do I have to forgive? I must forgive. Well, let's touch another one. Holiness. God is holy. So what must happen in my life? I must be holy. Is it by my own merit? By my own strength? No! Can't do it. I must be holy in all I do, in all I say. I must be above reproach. You see, now you ask yourself, how come you see people, they go to church, but their life is miserable? When I say miserable, I'm talking about spiritually. And it's the spiritual affect your natural, you know? Because if you are, I really like what you said the other day, Maureen, when we were talking about the kingdom. I encourage you guys, go to home group. Because the other day I went to home group, I'm a member of the home group. I'm not the leader. So I went, I tell you, that was so good for me because they fed me. Because everybody fed me. I've been just thinking about this thing. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. You know, when we become righteous by the power, by the sacrifice of Christ that's on, you know, that Jesus did on the cross, then we get to experience his peace. All right? You know what peace brings? Joy. Peace, I mean, I tell you, when you're at peace, you're happy. Right? But when you're not at peace, what happened? You're grumpy. It actually rhymes. When you're not at peace, you're happy. And when you're not at peace, you're grumpy. When you have Christ's peace, you're happy. And Jesus says, it's the peace that I give you that no one can give it. There's not enough of money. There's nothing you can gain to get that peace. It's the peace I give you. What is verse 8 says in 2 Peter? Verse 8. It says, and now, go back to verse 4, actually. Give me verse 4. Verse 4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. Okay, that's where I stop. His divine nature. And then what? Help me out, brothers and sisters. Escape the corruption caused by human desire. Amen? So I live in this world, but I don't get to be, I will not get affected by this pandemic. It's a pandemic. A corruption. That's why, you know, when you're living under the influence, let's say it like that, of the Holy Spirit, meaning you're living a life filled by the Holy Spirit, you do not accomplish the desire of the flesh. And then, with your knowledge of God, you get to partake in God's nature. And then you get to escape the corruption caused by human desire. Keep going. Verse 4, verse 5. In view of all this, it says, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement. Anybody here take supplement? I remember when Kendra was telling me to start taking supplement. I'm like, I don't need supplement. I remember those years. I'm like, as a matter of fact, I don't know, for some reason, whatever I was taking, every time I take supplement, I would be constipated. It was just like, I'm like, the supplements, they're not working because, honey, I'm trying these supplements. Supplements, do you see the word? It helps your immune system, right? Man, I like this. I tell you, I like this. In view of what? Verse 3 and verse 4. You take the spiritual supplement. You make the effort. I tell you, now I'm taking supplement, man. I don't want to miss them. I'm taking supplement now. I joined the army. I thank God for my supplements. Not only my pills, but spiritually. In view of all this, I make the effort. Because I remember the time she was after me to take them. I didn't see the necessity. She's like, you gotta take this. Okay, yeah, I'll take it when she gives it to me. Did you take your supplements today? Oh, I forgot. Man, honey, all week you did not take your supplement. Why? Because I did not see the value. But you know what now? She doesn't have to tell me anymore. Because I see the value. And I believe spiritually it's the same thing. When you become mature, one of the signs of spiritual maturity is, I have the list there. One of the signs of spiritual maturity, you leave childish stuff behind. So now I don't have to have Kendra telling me to take my supplement. I am automatically waking up in the morning because I know those supplements, they help me. I'm not 22 anymore. I'm almost 50. So I need almost. I have a couple years though. But my friend says if you're 48, you're really knocking at 50. So I do take my supplements. Go back to the verse. I'm really working with you, and you're awesome. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. See, knowledge is power. Gain knowledge. Learn the Bible. You know, we thank God for our teachers, for your cell group leaders. That's why we want the word of God to preach here. But it's not enough. Gain knowledge on your own. Read the word. If there's something you don't understand, come talk to me. Ask Robert. I tell you, you can ask him. He knows a lot. And he's a good brother. You know, and then the next verse. And knowledge with self-control. Ooh, what a supplement. Self-control is a supplement. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. Take me all the way up to verse 10. The more you grow like this, once again, what's the word here? Growing. The more you and I grow. Like, how? Go back to all the verses we just read. The more you grow like this, the more productive you will be in your knowledge of the Lord. Do you know there are many people in the church, they're not productive in their knowledge of God because they're not growing. Are they growing in holiness? Are you growing in self-discipline? Are you growing in your knowledge of God? The things you knew of God last year. And remember 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 17. If you remember those verses, go back, take notes, go read it. Because if you let the word of God equip you, correct you, lead you, you will be God's servant, fully mature, perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment what God will give you. That's why stop seeing, see people as an opportunity. Everybody you meet during the day, every situation you face, see it as an opportunity for you to express God's character, to express God's love. God wants you to grow because, take me back to that verse again, 2 Peter. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge. Anybody else here beside me wants to be productive in their knowledge? I do. So therefore, I must grow. I must use the 2 Peter 3:3-8. And then, is that verse 10? Said, the more you go like this, is that verse 9 or verse 10? But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sin. Do you know? And you might even know somebody who's been kept captive in their past. It's like your past just haunts you. And the enemy, Satan, he's the accuser of the brethren. So he's constantly accusing you of some crazy sin you've done. Now, my brothers and sisters, just think about it. If before I did some crazy stuff before I knew Jesus. But when I came to the Lord, this old Ricardo is dead with his sin. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. So it's like if you're trying to find this old Ricardo before I knew Christ, he doesn't exist. Are you with me? And sometimes you ask yourself, why do us people in the church, people of God, why do we go and unbury an old dead bones? You're not the same anymore. Do not hold your past against you. Don't hold your past against you. And when the enemy wants to bring your past against you, you remind him who you are in the Lord. Because he will constantly try. From Galatians chapter 5, I just wanna give you a list and then because I wanna finish. Galatians chapter 5 give us a list. You can read it. It says it talks about the behavior of the self life. For example, someone who lives their life for themselves, it says these are the things that the flesh, the manifestation of the flesh. For example, sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in our way, senseless argument. See, I like this. Senseless arguments. Okay? Resentment when others are favored, or resentment when others hurt you, temper tantrums, angry,
crawls, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of others' blessings, or being envy, you know, or never satisfy, you always want more, murder, adultery, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behaviors. And I have said it, and I'm going to repeat it again, those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's another list from Galatians. It says the second list is the fruit of the Spirit. They are what we should call the fruit of character in the life of a Christian. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue. I love this word, virtue. A person of character is the person that remains the same, whether it's raining or it's sunshiny. Think about it. That Neptune statue on the boardwalk. That's a statue, all right? Okay, I'm just going to use it as an example. It's a statue, right? It's a character. When you go out there, it's the sun's hot in 100 degrees. How do you see him? Oh, hang on. It's going to be, Mr. Neptune, it's going to be minus 20 degrees. When you go out there, how do you see him? Why? He doesn't change around the atmosphere. That's a character. See, we don't change when our temperature is changing. When we carry the character of God, we remain the same. This, but I don't know. That's somehow I kind of remember he's got his arm up or something like that. A life full of virtue. Are you the same person here than at home? If I would go on vacation with you for 3 days, you know, something we used to do, I'd love to see us do it again, retreat. You really know somebody when you go on a road trip with them. See, you don't really know me. If you want to know me, ask my kids. Let's go on a trip together. Because when people are driving like mad people, I start calling them idiots. And I start getting frustrated. You're like, oh, Pastor Ricardo, I didn't know you could do that. But really, you would never know I could do that if we didn't go on a trip together. That's why we must live, share life together. When we share life together, that's when you get to know me. I get to know you. Because you can only pretend for 2 hours. I'm going to behave. You know, we've got 8 hours here. I'm going to behave. I give you 5 hours. I give you 5 hours and you start cursing everybody because it's like, man, everybody's driving like crazy people. I didn't know you could do that at church. You never do that at church. Yeah, because you never bring that person at church. There's this story about a wife. You know, she would always sit up front and listen to her husband preaching, teaching, interacting with the church. And one day she was just praying and somebody overheard it. She's just praying, Lord, please send home with me this guy. Send this guy home with me. You know, it's like, please, Lord, sit this guy home with me. Why? Because when he's at church, he's pastor so-and-so. He's so very lovely, very touchy, very kind. But when he gets home, he leaves the pastor at church. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. You know, I mean, it's all right. So now take me to my first slide. Sign of spiritual maturity, and then we're going to wrap this up. Signs of spiritual maturity. I just want to put them in front of you. Number one, put away childish things, all right? What are some childish things? Sinful habits. I might come back to those, but I just want to put them. Activities that waste time. What are some things that you're doing that waste time, that waste your time? Ask yourself, everything I'm doing, am I supposed to do them? You know, where I'm going, the people I'm spending time with, am I supposed to spend time with them? You know, activities that waste time. The movies I'm watching, the music, the way I'm entertaining myself. Am I supposed to do that? Are those things or childish things? Things that do not further God's purpose in your life. You know, sometimes we are accusing. You know, Satan doesn't, it's not just Satan that accuses us, but sometimes we blame the devil for things we are doing. You know, like it's the devil. No. It's your choice. Think about this. What are some things that we do or we don't do that do not further God's purpose in your life? You think about this. Everything I'm doing it, whether I'm working, talking, you know, playing my guitar, you know, watching a movie, going to the movies, you listen to music, whatever I'm doing, is that contributing to further God's purpose in my life? Or is it not? The people I'm hanging out with. Next, keep going. Take responsibility for yourself. I already talked a little bit about that. Now, I don't have to have Kendra telling me to take my supplements because I'm taking responsibility for myself. A child, for example, if you don't bathe the child's gonna stink, and you can't blame the baby because he is a child. There are people here in our church. In the church, you should be bathing yourself. You walk with the Lord for so long, you shouldn't stink. Now, if Ryan would be smelling like that, I would have to tell Ryan, you go take a shower. But when he was a baby, it doesn't matter. Actually, you know, there's a story. We used to fart and blame it on Ryan. You know, I mean, any of you guys who had babies, when you're in public, and then you let one out, and then unfortunately, that one you let out is just not good. But then you had baby, you're like, oh, baby, why? Oh, maybe, let me go check him out. We did, that's a true story, we did that. Because we had the baby to blame on. See, that's childish things. Ryan couldn't take responsibility, be like, Dad, that's not me, no. Poor Ryan. You grow spiritually. When sign of spiritual maturity, you take responsibility for yourself. I don't have to every week to tell you, you need to bathe yourself spiritually. You need to be in prayer. You need to read the Bible. You need to be in fellowship. I don't need to tell you none of that stuff. If you are spiritually mature, you're gonna want that. You see, what happened to teenagers? If we don't parent them right. You remember when we were a teenager? We start having this rebellious mindset. You think you know it all. Now you don't need anybody and you want to isolate yourself. That's what people do in the church. And they've been walking with the Lord for 30 years. They've been in the church for 30 years. And you're like, okay, how come you're still acting as a teenager? You know, teenagers, until God give them grace and we parents learn how to parent them, they cut them off. They cut us off. They think, They got it. They're gonna go out there by themselves. Take responsibility. How do we take responsibility for our spiritual life? We take responsibility for our own growth. We take responsibility. We let the Word of God dwell in us. Number two, we put on the things of God, the armors of God. We put on righteousness. We put on holiness. We put on tender heart. Number three, next. We let God peace rule our hearts. So when we face trials and tribulation, when the world's going crazy, please, even when you watch the news, have a kingdom perspective. Know the Word. Know what the Word says. So the news around you, the things that are happening around you, don't rob your peace. Next. Number three, whatever you do, do it for and in the Lord Jesus. And then we feed ourselves spiritually. All right, study the Bible ourselves, pray, worship, you know. And I told you at the beginning, I want our church to be a church that's growing. That's what I want. Of course, in a family, you've got everybody are not at the same level, right? But at least we hope in our family, everybody will make it to maturity, right? That's it. Next slide. And then encourage yourself. That's another sign in the Lord. How do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? We remember who the Lord is. You know, we remember what he's done in the past. We expect him to act in our current circumstance. Number four, focus on others. Honor others. How do we do that? Now we stop focusing on ourselves. And now, there's nothing. Remember when you had your first child, how that changed your life? Because now you're not just responsible for yourself. You're responsible for others. I'll come back to that. There's so much here. I don't want to rush this. So let's stop right here. Oh, Jesus. Let's pray. Robert, come and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. Let us see ourselves the way that you see us. Let us see ourselves the way that your word says we are, who we are in Christ. Those 160 plus verses in the New Testament that tell us who we are in Christ, in God, in whom, in him. Let us see ourselves that way, Lord. Take the word of God that was taught to us today and let it be slammed home in our hearts, our minds, and our consciences. Let us not soon forget it. Let us incorporate this into our lives. Let us meditate on it. Let us study it out more, and let us live it out in our homes, behind closed doors, and in front of other unbelievers, so that the gospel and the ministry be not blamed. In Jesus' name, we thank you for these things with great strength and faith. Amen.